Last Lord's Day, we began a vitally important study concerning God's gift of manna, which was sent from heaven for the purpose of feeding the host of Israel after they left the bondage of Egypt. And we pointed out that this gift of God points to the greatest gift of all, that being Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God. So it's eternally important for us not only to study about the manna as a type of Christ, but also to be eaters of the teachings of Christ, because He is the bread of life. And so as we began our study, we noticed God proved His people, and He proves us today in the Lord's church. And we want to come out, like Job said, as gold as we go through the fiery trials in life. Yes, we want to be just that, coming out as gold. So we want to continue our study this morning as we're looking into the book of Exodus, manna, yes, a gift from God. And we'll continue our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we want to welcome you this morning, yes, to PFE, that is Preparing for Eternity. And that's the most important thing we could be doing. Now, let's take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, here in Martinsville. As we come together in our Bible classes, we study God's precious Word. And then, as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in a proper attitude, that would be in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, that would be in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Now, something else to mention. We are always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in setting up a Bible study, please call us. Let us know. We would be glad to meet with you at your convenience. And we're always glad to answer your Bible questions. We appreciate your comments as well. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, we need to make two announcements. First of all, the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ, their annual lectureship is fast approaching. It begins the first Sunday of November, which would be the 6th, and goes through the 10th, that would be Thursday. For the times and topics and the speakers, go to their website or look them up on Facebook. That's the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis. And I always look forward to being a part of that great annual lectureship. And here's the second announcement. Our gospel meeting follows the lectureship. It begins on Friday, the 11th of November, and goes through the 13th. So Friday night and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Sunday, 9:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., a potluck lunch that will be delicious, and then the last service Sunday at 1 p.m., wrapping up the gospel meeting. Our speaker, Brother Ronnie Whittemore, he's been here before. He's well known by the brethren, and we look forward to having Brother Ronnie preach the gospel again, as he always does a wonderful job. The theme, Shifts of the Bible. Now, let's get into our study as we continue in the book of Exodus, manna, a gift from God. And now we're going to focus in on chapter 16 of the book of Exodus. And we're going to notice this very important point. God's grace provided the gift of manna, but obedience was required to receive it. Now that's vitally important. As God's gracious gift of manna, yes, was from heaven, it was not secretions found on the tamarisk trees. Well, I found that in the Interpreter's Bible, I wouldn't recommend that at all. This is what was suggested. Well, when you have the Israelites leaving Egypt, and the number of men who could go to war was 600,000. Now, if you add to that total all the women, the children, the older people, to that number of 600,000, you'd have well over 1 million, possibly 2 million. And the tamarisk tree secretions could not have fed the Israelites for one day, let alone be ground up. But the manna from God could, Numbers 11, verse 8. So how can anyone misunderstand this? Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Exodus 16, 4. Let's stay with the Bible. Why do so many people think they, know better than God? That's not right, is it? Well, of course not. Now note the reaction as the Israelites said to one another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." Verse 15. Well, and again, let's not forget this, that the manna from heaven is a type of Christ. John 9, 29 through 43, and we'll want to study that later. But let's mention this. Grace means unmerited favor, but the favor must be of benefit, supplying some need. For example, throwing a drowning man a check for $1 million would not supply his need because he couldn't use it. What good is that paper, no matter what's written on it, to a drowning man? Of course, he needs a life preserver, something to grab hold of, to pull him out of the water. So notice with me now Genesis 6, verse 8, because here's the first verse in the Bible where we find the term grace. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We need to be thankful that Noah was a righteous man. He was a just man. And he obeyed God. He did all that God commanded him. And thus 8 souls were saved by water. Had he not been a just man and righteous and a good influence on his family, that would have been the end of mankind. Well, we see that Noah accepted God's grace when he obeyed God's commands. Chapter 11 in Hebrews, the Hall of Faith, as we call it. Verse 7, notice, by faith. What kind of faith? Not a dead faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. Now, every honest Bible student should be able to conclude that Noah was not a faith-only person, because he had a working faith, not a dead faith. But he had works of righteousness, not works of merit. That's where people go wrong. They look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and conclude that that's all works. And they leave out verse 10, which is works of righteousness. Well, there's a difference between earning one's salvation and obeying God's commands. That should be reasonably understandable for all people. and not be misled by so many false teachers. Meritorious works is thinking one can earn their salvation. You cannot earn the death of Christ. I cannot earn the death of Christ. No one can. But we can do what God commands. We can do works of righteousness and thus accept God's gift of grace. So biblical faith is going to respond to God's grace by obeying God's commands. It's just that simple. As God's grace is a manifestation of His love for us, and our faith is a demonstration of our love for God. We're going to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. As Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, we're going to do what God requires of us in submitting to His commands. But let's get back to Exodus chapter 16, and we'll see that God's marvelous grace provided the gift of bread and also quails to feed the Israelites as they journeyed in the wilderness for 40 years, as you read in verses 11 through 15 here in chapter 16 and verse 35. God provided miraculously for their food and water, whereas today He cares for us providentially, but not miraculously. And that's ever since the completed revelation of God came forth, making up all 66 books of the Bible. When the perfect shall come, then that which is in part shall be done away. As Paul wrote to the Church of Christ in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, the miraculous gifts would cease. Prophecy, speaking in tongues, languages that you never studied, and of course the gift of knowledge. We have to study, learn God's will. It's not miraculously provided. So we understand then, once the full, complete revelation of God came forth, that which was miraculous was done away. It was no longer needed. So we have to understand that. Ephesians 4:11-16 as well. So let us be sure that we understand this extremely important point. God graciously gave the Israelites the gift of manna, that special bread from heaven, and of course the quail provided the water, but they had to go out of their tents to get it and to follow God's commands. And we want to study this morning those commands that were given here in Exodus chapter 16 concerning the gathering of the gift of manna from heaven. So let's notice, what commands did God give the Israelites concerning gathering the manna? Let's start with verse 16 here in chapter 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer, for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. That would depend on the number in your family. Notice verse 18. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. That's not difficult to understand. No, not at all. They were to gather the manna daily, Sunday through Tuesday, an omer for everyone in their tent and family. Now notice verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. So they were not to leave it until morning. And notice now verses 22 through 24. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye bake today, and see that it ye will see it. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept unto morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. So on the sixth day, that would be Friday, they were to gather a double portion, yes, twice as much. And that, of course, was so they wouldn't have to gather on Saturday. Now, 25 through 30. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So they were not to expect any manna to be out on the seventh day. And that again was Saturday. So as we see, this is commands given by God, and they were to obey them, or else they wouldn't have the manna to eat. Now notice 32 through 34. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. That's right, to be kept. And this would later be placed in the Ark of the Covenant. So this pot of manna was a memorial, and it would be preserved. And you see this in Hebrews 9, verse 4. Yes, this was in the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God there in the most holy place of the tabernacle. But let's go now to lessons from our study that we can apply to ourselves. Since the Israelites were to trust and depend upon God for their daily needs, are we not to do the same? We're to trust and to depend upon God for our daily needs. Did not Jesus teach this when he gave the model prayer? Give us this day our daily bread, our daily needs. We need to pray for our daily needs. And how often? That's easy to answer. Daily. That's right. Matthew 6, verse 11. Now, just as the Israelites forgot how God had delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt, we're not to, you know, do this. If we're not maintaining our steadfastness and abounding in the work of the Lord, we too can forget how God delivered us from the bondage of our sins. Now, we're going to study more about this, Lord willing, next week, how the Israelites forgot that God delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. They were murmuring and complaining. So we'll save that for, Lord willing, next week. But let's be sure that, as Paul said to the brethren at Corinth, I beseech you, brethren, my beloved brethren, that you are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, where? In the Lord. That's in the church. And Paul was concerned about his beloved brethren remaining steadfast, not to be moved from the slightest wind of false doctrine. And of course, we're to add the Christian graces, 2 Peter 1:3-12. Now, just as manna was a gift from God and the Israelites had to do something to gather it, salvation for our sins is a gift from God. Ephesians 2:8-9. But we must do something to receive the forgiveness of our sins. And this is very clearly pointed out in the scriptures. Yes, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal life unto all them that, what? Obey him. We have to obey as well as Jesus did. Acts 2:38, they were told on the day of Pentecost when they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter didn't say, "Ask the Lord into your heart and pray for forgiveness." No, he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There in Acts 2, the day the church began, verse 38. Look at the examples of conversion. They were all baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And we certainly should understand in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So we're to stay with it, not give up the faith, go astray. When we obey the gospel of Christ, we're to continue in the faith. Yes, grounded and settled. Colossians 1:22-23. Notice with me. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and of which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Let's continue in the faith and never forget the love of God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Now, when the Israelites disobeyed God's command by trying to keep some of the manna overnight, verses 19 and 20 back here in Exodus 16, what happened? Let's notice. And Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning." Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Yes, let's not do what they did. When we in the Lord's church fail to obey God's pattern concerning how the church is organized, Christ is the head of the church. Elders are to be qualified according to the qualifications that are there in 1 Timothy 3:1-7, Titus 1:5-9. Deacons are to meet the qualifications before they're appointed, 8-13 in 1 Timothy 3. So preachers are to preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Why? Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they'll teach, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That will be ear ticklers, in other words. So we need to stay with God's word, preaching and teaching the truth. And understand the work of the church is to evangelize, yes, and to edify, and to do benevolent work. Those are the three areas of mission, the work of the church, the mission of the church. So we stay with the pattern. And of course, as we worship God, we're to go by the example in the Scriptures, gathering on the first day of the week. They came together to break bread, to partake of the Lord's Supper, every first day of the week, not just when someone decides every now and then, every 6 weeks, or whatever man has determined. No, we stay with the pattern that God has given us. We don't want to be like the Israelites. Yes, we don't want to leave the manna overnight like they did, in the sense of not following God's pattern today. Now, here's another lesson. When the Israelites went out on the Sabbath day to gather the manna, they found none because they disobeyed God's command. And so when we in the Lord's church fail to obey God's command of assembling ourselves together with the saints because we prefer to sleep in, to watch television, or to go to a sporting event, we better repent and pray for forgiveness to be justified before God. If we weren't sick, taking care of a sick child, in an accident or something where we're unable to come but we desire to be there, those situations are understandable. But when we determine not to come because we want to do something else, we're not putting God first. Don't fool ourselves. Study Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 31. And one other point I want to make before we close out our study. You see, God rested on the seventh day after creation. That is, He ceased from bringing forth all of creation. He had finished it. And it's interesting to note here, God blessed and sanctified the seventh day, Genesis 2, 1 through 3, and was preparing the Israelites here not to work on the seventh day in the wilderness. But the Sabbath day as an ordinance was not instituted until they were at Mount Sinai, Exodus 20, 8 through 11. So as we close out our study this morning, we've seen that yes, God's grace was providing the gift of manna, but the Israelites were required to obey God's commands, to receive it. And thus we need to learn from that and obey the gospel to receive the salvation from our sins today. Have you done just that? Have you submitted to the gospel of Christ by hearing the truth? Romans 10:17, by believing that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. John 8:24. Once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated to repent of our sins and turn our wills over to God and submit to His will. Luke 13:3-5. Having repented of our sins, now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Once we state, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of, that is, baptism, immersion. We're buried into the death of Christ and contact His precious blood. We arise out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. And the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, Acts 2:47, where we need to remain faithful even unto death. We thank You so much for listening today.